This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty Tonight with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. My name is Nate Thurston. Listen to Good Morning Liberty, our daily podcast, wherever you find your podcast. And this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering the Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. And a big thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org. I got a couple words to say on this. And first off, Charlie, I want to say a word about principles. And even though, like, let's say you hate a company or disagree with them and everything that they do, when you have principles in a scenario, then you can defend someone's right to do something or defend this entire system itself, even though you might hate the company or the person that the government is going after. And so this has to do with the United States versus Google and the antitrust case. Google has... they don't like us very much. Mm. I'll just say that we got our strikes on YouTube.
Shadow ban.
It's been pretty bad. Now we're not just blaming other people, you know, saying that we have no responsibility in the matter, of course. But even our last YouTube short, you know how many views it got?
Five.
You got 20.
20.
20 views.
Five times four. You yeah. We finished.
even our shadow band TikTok got way more than that, which, of course, we've get let out of that and back. It's been kind of weird. And so YouTube, they censor a lot of things, mm-hmm. especially once you get those strikes piling up.
You can't handle the truth.
They don't like
basically.
It. But that does not mean that I want the government to come in and break them up. Or take away any of their rights to be a competitor in the market
now, think
at all?
About yesterday's conversation, I'm curious at all if Google didn't comply with some of Size's requests. Well, and now there's an antitrust case against them.
I don't think so because this was started 3 years ago. It's just now getting the trial, but they started this lawsuit 3 years ago or a little over 3 years ago, I believe. Could be. I mean, maybe it had something to do with it because COVID was still going at that time. But Google's always been pretty hardcore on these things. So I don't know. This, what's her name? Lena Khan, I think is her name. Khan is her last name. I can't remember what her first name is. She basically hates all business. And, she's the one who went after, Meta because they were trying to buy a fitness app to put in the metaverse and that it might hinder future apps that could potentially pop up. And if they already have one, then they'd be killing that market before it started. You know, stupid stuff like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into this. The Justice Department's case.
We don't know anybody doing fitness.
You
know?
No.
Yeah.
The DOJ's case is aimed at Google search and whether the company has used illegal agreements to sideline its rivals and harmed consumers and advertisers in the process. Google pays billions of dollars to Apple, for example, to be the default search engine on the Safari browser. Google grew up... Now, that's really the main part of this problem right now is that they pay Apple and they also pay... They also have it on Android phones. I was going to say they also pay Google. Google. They also have it
pay themselves
on Android phones and all the others to be the default browser. And you can, like, they're the default search on their default browser, because I still use Safari. Some people have Chrome mm-hmm. on their phones, I guess.
Yeah.
I just use Safari on my phone. Is it bad?
I got both. Depends on what I need to do.
Anyway, because they're the default, that means that they're exercising some kind of monopoly power.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently...
But they made an agreement with another company.
Yeah. Now, what I wonder is, if this is illegal for them to do, why isn't it illegal for Apple to take Google's money and make them the default browser? Like, what law is Apple breaking in taking money from Google and making Google their default search engine on their browser? There's not one, is the answer, because they clearly can't point to the law. They just say, oh, Apple, you can't do that. You're breaking this law. There's not a law to point to for them to say that, which is why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird. The weird thing about...
Like, imagine entering into agreement with someone, and then, like, the other party's like, okay, well, if we're going to do this agreement, like you're going to be my default person, you know, that, like, that's what I require for this agreement. And you're like, no, I can't do that.
No,
can't do that. You just give me money, and then I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And I have to, you know, you have to allow other people in to this agreement, whether you want to or not.
Antitrust is notoriously as confusing as what you were just talking about. Like, here's the thing with antitrust cases, and I think I heard this in one of Ayn Rand's books or whoever, but you can be prosecuted for almost anything under antitrust law. If your prices are too high, you could be prosecuted for having a monopoly and price gouging people. If your prices are too low, you can be prosecuted for anti-competitive practices and trying to put your competitors out of business. If your prices match everywhere, you can be prosecuted for having a cartel and matching prices with all of the other businesses out there. And so any direction that they want, they can find a way to hurt your business. And so
insane.
You are always walking on eggshells, and that's why things like what we talked about with the censorship and what the Fifth Circuit Court ruled are so important, because these businesses can literally be breaking antitrust law at all times. And it just depends on when the government decides they want to try and prosecute them. And they might not even think they're going to win. They might not win this case, but they're going to annoy the heck out of Google and make them spend a bunch of money for years and years, and no company wants to go through the headache of that. So sometimes you'll just decide to comply with them so you don't have to go through the headache.
Well, the general counsel at the company wants to go through it.
Yeah, that's true.
They get paid for this, you know?
Now, this is interesting. Google grew up during an era of more relaxed antitrust enforcement, particularly against technology companies that developed innovative and often free ways to explore and use the internet. Efforts to regulate Google and other technology giants have failed to advance in Congress in recent years. In the absence of such rules, the government is trying to use antitrust law to govern competition on the web and put curbs on the internet's gatekeepers.
Now, because the government should own the internet.
Yeah. Oh, and they're literally saying that the lawmakers who are elected by the people to make laws and make regulations if they want to. Well, the people who elect them aren't concerned enough about this at all. And so they're not passing any new laws or regulations. And so the federal bureaucracy, the Department of Justice, is just going to go after them anyway, even though the people that are elected by the people have decided that it's not important enough for their constituents for them to go after.
I love this next paragraph.
Why
here.
Is Google facing a lawsuit? The DOJ and a group of states sued Google 3 years ago, alleging it illegally maintains a monopoly in online search and related advertising markets. Google has about a 90% market share in search and maintains its dominance through restrictive agreements with browser and phone partners such as Apple, Mozilla, Samsung, Verizon, according to the DOJ.
God, did you guys hear that? Monopoly, 90%.
Yes. Now, the other thing that I bet they're doing, I did not look into what they are calling the market, but when they say market share, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll narrowly define the market share. So they could say something like internet browser search engines, like specific, and then they'll say Google has 90% of that. What might not fit into that is ChatGPT or X or several other websites that people go TikTok. And look for things, TikTok, Snapchat. Things like that. So what they'll do is they'll narrowly define it all the way down to something. They did the same thing with Microsoft. They said it had to be a standalone computer running this system based off of this particular Intel chip. And so it basically narrowed the market all the way down to almost Microsoft, that Windows. That was it. Mm-hmm. Even though people were using Apple computers and Linux and these other companies at the same time, they narrowed the market share all the way down to whoever was using this one Intel chip. So they could narrowly define the Windows market and say that they were controlling that entire market. And so they pull this stuff. They do this all the time. Okay, even though this is the biggest one in 20 years, these deals, the government says, are illegal, make Google the default search engine on most U.S. phones. Google's separate agreements with Android-based mobile device manufacturers forbid pre-installing or promoting rival search engines if they opt to take a cut of Google's search revenue. So if they want to take a cut of the revenue, they can't. Now, remember, they can't pre-install. You can still download them.
Or promote.
Or you just... If you want to take a cut of Google search revenue, then they don't want you to do it.
Look, if I'm going to pay you,
I'm
just asking that you don't promote somebody else because I'm paying you. Mm-hmm. Remember, like you're getting a cut.
Did you know that? I mean,
this is so insane. I mean, really,
so we do advertisements for BetterHelp all the time.
So insane.
You know, remember BetterHelp?
Mm-hmm.
We can't do any agreements with any other, providers that provide the same or similar service in the same field as they do at all. Like it's in our agreement.
Like that we can't mention talking about spaces.
No, not even talk about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a common thing.
BetterHelp has a monopoly.
Yeah.
And we are controlled.
And you know who they're hurting here? Here's funny. Here's the victim. Microsoft. That's the victim in this scenario. All right.
Bing.
DOJ.
Now, DuckDuckGo.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny because this lawsuit was started 3 years ago. And if you pay attention to things like the stock market, you know that, well, Microsoft owns a big portion of, or did they buy out? But anyway, OpenAI, who owns ChatGPT. Google stock tanked when that whole thing happened and ChatGPT blew up because the word on the street is that all search is going to be going through things like ChatGPT, not through Google. This has happened since the lawsuit started.
And that's when it was not going before that.
Bard, which failed miserably mm-hmm. in their first test. And that is not accounted for in this lawsuit. This market is always changing. And so now people in the market are saying, well, all search is going to be going through basically ChatGPT, which is Microsoft. And Google's Bard is terrible. And they're trying to come up. They're frantically. Google is frantically trying to come up with something to compete with Microsoft in search right now, year of our Lord 2023, not when this lawsuit was started in 2020.
You can't make this stuff up, man.
It's pretty great. And you want to know who else with this victim? It's kind of funny. The most search word on Bing is Google. Now, this is in 2021. But when people say their, Edge opens up mm-hmm. to Bing. They search Google to go search things.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Google's better at searching, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or it's just, you know, once you have your brand to a point where it's a verb, when you Google things.
Right.
Then you've kind of
peak brand.
You've won.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how Twitter used to be when you would tweet things.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're a verb, you've made it. You don't take away the verb, Elon. It's a terrible idea. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I get it. The name's dumb or whatever. But anyway, these things bother me even when it happens to a company that I don't like. Okay, and I think that that's an important thing to note
here.
Well,
the biggest reason is because this only harms consumers.
It does.
They say they're protecting consumers, but they're doing the exact opposite because now when they break Google up or if they end up doing it or whatever the case may be, what's going to happen is these types of things are just going to get more expensive,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, or they're not going to be as good. And so now you're just harming consumers. And as you mentioned, the market takes care of itself, Right. Yeah. We can't, the government doesn't look into the future and like, okay, well, does not exist right now that may exist in the future that could completely overtake Google, like AI,
mm-hmm.
you know, is it going to be better? Because Google's been focusing a lot on search to be the best search. They didn't have as big a team or as much investment in AI as some other people were, because they had the incentive to overtake some of that market share.
You know who did think about this outside of the government? Microsoft did, mm-hmm. by buying 10% of OpenAI way back when. And because they knew that they needed to compete with Google, and they were looking ahead to the future and knew that things were going to be moving to more AI-based searches. And so they go and they buy OpenAI and they get ChatGPT, and all of a sudden people in the market are saying, Google might be screwed. We might have 2 or 3 more years of Google dominance, and then this thing's going to crash unless they come up with something to compete with Microsoft. Because that's the way the market works. Mm-hmm. They always find a way. It's beautiful.
It is.
Despite what the government is doing.
All for a motive of evil, scary profit.
Terrible, terrible stuff. Speaking of profits, we could be coming up on a strike on the automobile manufacturers coming up here soon. Now, we've talked about this a little bit because of their ridiculous 46% pay increase demand based off of how much the CEO pay went up at those companies. So we have mentioned this several times. But there's just over 24 hours left before this deadline, Charlie, and they're nowhere close, apparently.
Hmm.
They're not talking about all of them striking, but if you want to read through some of this or whatever you want to do.
With just over 24 hours left before a strike deadline, UAW President Sean Fain said Wednesday that offers from the companies aren't enough and the union is getting ready to strike. Automakers contend that they need to make huge investments to develop and build electric vehicles while still building and engineering internal combustion vehicles. They say an expensive labor agreement could saddle them with costs that would force them to raise prices above their non-union foreign competitors. And they say they have made fair proposals to the union.
So
let me read that again.
Yeah.
They say an expensive labor agreement could saddle them with costs that would force them to raise prices above their non-union foreign competitors.
Does the union have a monopoly in this case?
Should we break up the union?
Should we do an antitrust case
against
the union?
That might be something I could get behind.
Because they're forcing them to raise their prices. There's an important thing in here, which is that they're trying to do this transition to electric vehicles. Only Tesla has figured that out so far. These other companies have not figured it out. They're not making money off of it yet. It took Tesla a while to make money off of it, but they lost a lot of money in the process. These other companies like GM and Ford are not doing well, and Ford's losing a ton of money switching to electric vehicles. But guess what's happening? The government is essentially forcing them to switch over to electric vehicles. And so they're all trying to do this, and they're burning through a ton of money. And while they're making money
GM's
right now,
leading the way, though.
They're leading the way.
Mm-hmm.
While they're making a ton of money right now, they're making a ton of money off of their combustion engines with ICE, internal combustion engines, vehicles, not off of the electric vehicles. And so they still need to pivot into this. But what the workers are saying is, well, you guys made a lot of money. That all needs to go to the workers, because without us, you wouldn't have made it. And there's been this argument really, really prevalent since the UAW thing, but their profits are going up, which means worker pay needs to go up, right? And, okay, that's a conversation. Profit going up, worker pay can go up. Or there's other thing. What if the profit goes down? Should the worker pay go down at that point?
No, never.
Well, I've made that argument. Nina Turner has responded, because a lot of people are saying that. She said, it does go down. Workers are laid off when profits go down. So they fire people when profits go down. And so the alternative, like if you're going to make that analogy, is when profits go up, don't businesses hire people? And that's the thing that these kind of folks, the socialist leftist kind of folks, don't see, is that if you make a bunch of profits, you can invest in more production. And so you, instead of just taking, let's say you got 1,000 workers and you make all this profit, and you're like, well, we're going to just pay these 1,000 workers a bunch more money and just keep on trucking. Well, what if we double our workforce and go to 2,000 workers with this extra profit? Well, now you could say, well, the company had a lot of profits, and they didn't give it to any of us. Look at that. Well, they hired 1,000 more people.
They gave it to new people.
Yeah, that's where the money went.
To increase more production, to make more money.
Which some, I didn't pull any of it up. Maybe it's a dumb bleep. Some guy responded to me and said, well, more production, that just means prices are going to go up.
Huh?
What?
What?
Huh?
Or they invest in more technology, which yes. makes it easier, more efficient.
Yeah.
It actually brings the cost down.
It kind of seems like it would bring costs down.
The only reason why vehicle prices are getting more expensive is because there's more regulation to comply with.
Yeah.
There's obviously more features and different things they're putting in.
They're getting better.
Yeah, to make them better, safer, all kinds of things. But a lot of it has to do with forced government regulations, like the cash for clunkers that we there in Obama.
Well, they also do these things like a company must have an average, I'll just pull a number out,
20 per gallon.
25 miles per gallon across all their vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to drop off some of the cheaper, lower-end vehicles that get worse mileage, also trucks, stuff like that. But I think, I don't know if they do it across all vehicles or classes, but what ends up happening is they'll get rid of the cheaper vehicles that weren't as fuel efficient. And
I've got one of the last V8 Toyotas.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't even make V8s anymore, huh?
Nope.
Got that thing back in 1780. Wait, what number is
all
it?
All the new Tundras have a V6 with a turbo.
What's the special?
1794.
What's special about that year?
I don't know.
They just picked it. They're like, 1794. It's a big year.
I mean, they're Japanese, so who knows what they were.
That's true. It could be anything.
Something could have happened in Japan in 1794 that led them to make one of the best trucks ever made.
Okay.
I think.
Let's see.
If the companies continue to bargain in bad faith or continue to stall or continue to give us insulting offers, then our strike is going to continue to grow. A lot of continues in there.
Hmm.
That says Fain. He said the targeted strikes with a threat of escalation will keep the companies guessing. That's what I like to do with my boss.
Got to keep them guessing.
Guess what I'm going to do? You have no idea. UAW started out demanding 40% raises over the life of a four-year contract, or 46% when compounded annually.
And coming up, we're going to keep talking about this UAW conversation, as we have been. It's a pretty big deal right now. And then we're also going to get into this medication that we've all been taking over the counter for like 20 years that the FDA just voted unanimously saying, yeah, it doesn't work. Like, no one says it works. Okay, including the FDA. What are they going to do about it? I don't know. This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network from Nashville, Tennessee.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. White House officials won't be heading to Detroit to help with labor negotiations. President Biden said last week that Labor Secretary Julie Hsu and Senior Advisor Gene Sperling would go to Detroit to give support as the United Auto Workers and Companies try to work out a deal. The White House says it's most productive for the two to continue discussions from Washington, D.C. instead.
One prison escapee is back in custody while the search continues for another. John Fink has this story.
One of the two women who walked out of a transitional reentry facility over the weekend has been caught in Orange County. 32-year-old Janelle Rice has been arrested in Stanton. 31-year-old Diana Sanchez remains on the loose.
The first hearing in the impeachment inquiry of President Biden will be held by the House next week. The House Oversight Committee said it will focus on constitutional and legal questions surrounding the president's involvement in corruption and abuse of public office. Dave Collins, USA News.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
All right, what's up? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. We are back here in Nashville, Tennessee. We've been talking quite a bit about this UAW strike that's going on. Of course, I haven't been too happy with that. Charlie's not too happy with that. By the way, if you want to hear our daily thoughts on this, you can go to BernieLies.com. That'll bring up all the links to our podcast on all the different apps, our website, goodmorningliberty.us. That's our daily podcast that we do. So you can check that, and let's get back into this conversation. Charlie?
Initial offers from the companies fell far short of those figures. The UAW later lowered its demand to around 36%. In addition to general wage increases, the union is seeking restoration of cost of living pay raises, an end to varying tiers of wages for factory jobs, a 32-hour week with 40 hours of pay, the restoration of traditional defined benefit pensions for new hires who now receive only 401k-style retirement plans, pension increases for retirees, and other items.
So they want a guaranteed retirement that's not exactly based on how much money they put in, like a 401k would be. They just want to buy into this failing, terrible. Listen, a lot of people got pensions out there. I got it. But listen, you're probably taking more back than you put in, and you're helping bankrupt not only the company, whatever state it is, now that they're the ones that made these deals and everything, but pensions are freaking terrible. But that's what they want. They don't want the 401ks because that's like,
so the company's
based off of the actual money.
The company's upped their wage offers, but he still called them inadequate. Ford offered 20% over 4.5 years. GM was at 18, and Stellantis was at 17.5%.
That's Chrysler, I think.
The raises barely make up for what he described as minimal raises of the past. In 2019, the 2019 agreement, the union got 6% pay raises over 4 years, with lump sums in some years, as well as profit-sharing checks. Top pay for assembly plant worker is now $32 per hour. 20% would be an extra, they'd be at $40 an hour.
Hmm.
Yeah, more than what a nurse makes starting out. So, all three companies' offers on cost of living adjustments were deficient, he said, providing little to no protection against inflation or annual lump sums that many workers won't get. And, like, you can see the, you know, we make these arguments that inflation hurts poor people, and all it does is just make everything more expensive. And everyone's like, well, that's not true. You actually see it play out in things like this.
Cost of living.
Right. You know, because, and they'll literally come out and say it's like, oh, there's no protection against inflation. We need the cost of living raises to combat inflation.
And now,
otherwise, we're getting poorer if we make the same amount of money and there's inflation.
Because of the inflation, they're talking about a potential strike where they shut down auto production, which would be really bad. I don't know if you know anyone knows this. That would be a pretty bad thing for a bit. And that's, like you said, that's a symptom of the high inflation, which is a symptom of all the printing of fake money and sending it out to people in the first place.
And I wonder who was talking about that happening.
And it is, you know, like from the group
here. And I want to go back to the videos of all these people that, like, when we started talking about this, that would come out and just talk about modern monetary theory and how people who talk about spending government money, it causes inflation, are stupid.
And they don't understand. Over people and all that.
Yeah. You know? And it was transitory. Like, they said all of these incredibly, incredibly dumb and ignorant things. And here we are a couple years later, and everyone's just like, forget, I want to take these people to task.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They'll make up, they'll have a reason for why it's not.
Of course they will.
For why it's not that.
Of course they will. They can't actually.
They'll have someone else to blame.
Yeah, there's no self-reflection whatsoever.
And the thing is, unions, you know, kind of what someone said in the group here, and what we alluded to earlier, I see unions as monopolizing labor. Like, they're creating a labor monopoly where, okay, if so, like, if GM had a monopoly, the government would see that as a bad thing, you know. But if a union had all of the GM workers and they were dictating whatever they wanted from their side of the aisle, and GM had no other option except for to use them, well, that's also a monopoly. And why is that not a bad thing? I don't know. I can't tell you, except for they want to stay in office and they care about voters voting for them. And GM is just a few people who run the company.
And then how is that not bribery?
People in the union. I know. Because then you got the union who pays for all of this for their campaigns. So I don't. It's clearly a monopoly, in my opinion, which is why we stuck it right after that monopoly piece.
Mm-hmm.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes we're faced with a crossroads in life and we don't really know which path to take. Maybe you're thinking about a career change or feeling like your relationship needs a little love. Whatever it is, therapy can help you map out your future and trust yourself to find a way forward. I've done therapy in the past, and honestly, it helped me quite a lot. Changed my life, made me who I am today. And our co-host, Charlie, he's still using BetterHelp to this day. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. One thing, we'll skip over that for a minute. This is a funny one. Speaking of things that we write about, Charlie.
Oh.
We got another story here from the New York Times about
it's
Russia.
Pretty much every day, isn't it?
It's pretty. Yeah, it's like a white balloon thing.
Well, we are wrong. We admit it.
I know.
But it doesn't happen very often.
Russia overcomes sanctions to expand missile production. So we've talked a lot about how the sanctions didn't do anything. This is another time where it didn't do anything. Russia has managed to overcome sanctions and export controls imposed by the West to expand its missile production beyond pre-war levels, according to U.S., European, and Ukrainian officials, leaving Ukraine especially vulnerable. In addition to spending more than $40 billion providing weapons for Ukraine, the U.S. has made curbing Russia's military supply a key part of its strategy to support Kyiv. As a result of the sanctions, American officials estimate that Russia was forced to dramatically slow its production of missiles and other weaponry for 6 months. But by the end of 2022, Moscow's military industrial manufacturing began to pick up speed. American officials who spoke on condition of anonymity to disclose the sensitive assessment now concede. Russia subverted American export controls using its intelligence services and Ministry of Defense to run illicit networks of people who smuggle key components by exporting them to other countries from which they can be shipped to Russia more easily.
Hmm.
So they just send them to another country that will then just send them to Russia, and then these sanctions don't matter.
In less than a year
since
the war began, Russia rebuilt trade in critical components by routing them through countries like Armenia and Turkey. Less than a year it took them to figure out how to reroute.
How about that? Let me see if there's anything else important. Nope, that's about it, except for before the war, they were making 100 tanks a year. Now they're producing 200 tanks per year, and that's after we try really hard to get them to decrease all of their production. Gotta love those sanctions. It's awesome. One more.
Did you see that video of Putin talking about the presidency?
Uh-uh.
I thought it was pretty interesting. He basically said how the United States is making a fool of themselves and the whole world. And he was talking about democracy. He's like, so you're going to preach democracy, and right now you're trying to arrest a former president and a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
And you're going to preach democracy to the rest of the world.
I mean,
he's like, it's laughable.
It is. He's not wrong.
Right.
He's not wrong about that. I wouldn't say he's, someone who practices whatever it is that he's preaching right now. But he is making the point that the America is clearly hypocritical.
Well, he's calling them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, you're hypocrites.
Here's something interesting that's not super political, except for it's going to involve the FDA and some other stuff. Did you know that recently and finally the FDA announced that this decongestion medication, have you ever taken like Sudafed, stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the medication in them, the active ingredient, what was it called? I've been scrolling through trying to figure out what the name of it is. Starts with a D. No, starts with a P.
It's a P.
It's not sudafedrin. It's
phenylephrine.
Yeah. Phenylephrine. Doesn't work.
Mm.
They've actually been saying it didn't work now for like 20 years or so, like 17 years or so, and they finally are saying, oh, yeah, the FDA finally said, no, this doesn't work.
Now, I'm trying to remember, is phenylephrine the one that they changed over because the real Sudafed?
This is their replacement for pseudo. Yes.
Yeah.
Because they put pseudo behind the counter because of meth.
Yes.
And
we're making meth with it.
This is the replacement because of that, mm-hmm. that all of these companies have come up with. And the long story short of this, we can go through. I find this really interesting.
If Sudafedrin. Yeah, it's actually called Sudafedrin. Is the real stuff that's behind the counter. You can only buy like one pack a month or something like that.
So you've got Sudafed PE, Dayquil, Tylenol, cold and flu, Benadryl allergy plus congestion. The author here says, unfortunately for you and me and everyone else in the country, the decongestant in all of these pills and syrups is entirely ineffective. The brand names might be different, but the active ingredient aimed at congestion is the same, phenylephrine. Roughly two decades ago, oral phenylephrine began proliferating on pharmacy shelves despite mounting and now damning evidence that the drug simply does not work. Quote, it's been an open secret among pharmacists, says Randy Hatton, a pharmacy professor at the University of Florida, who filed a citizen petition in 2007 and again in 2015 asking the FDA to reevaluate phenylephrine. This week, an advisory panel to the FDA voted 16-0 that the drug is ineffective orally, which could pave the way for the agency to finally pull the drug. 16-0. They're like, obvious. It doesn't do anything. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, we forgot to have the phenylephrine vote. I thought we did that 20 years ago. So just to clarify for everyone, because I don't want to throw any misinformation out, orally is how they're saying it doesn't work. Mm. It gets broken down by your gut, never makes it to your nose. The stuff that has it for nasal spray and stuff, this drug does when it's in your nasal passage, does work as a decongestant, but it's got to be a nasal spray, not anything that you take orally. Like, they literally have zero evidence. Over-the-counter oral decongestants weren't always this bad, but in the early 2000s, states began restricting access to a different drug that actually is effective against congestion, because it could be used to make meth. So the Combat Methamphetamine Epidemic Act, signed in 2006, took the restrictions national. You can still buy real-deal Sudafed containing pseudo, but you have to show an ID and sign a logbook. Meanwhile, manufacturers filled over-the-counter shelves with phenylephrine replacements, such as Sudafed PE. The PE is for phenylephrine. But you would be forgiven for not noticing the different name. The switch from pseudo to phenyl was a big mistake, says Ronald Eccles, who ran the Common Cold Unit. Eccles was critical of the switch in 2006. The evidence he wrote at the time was already pointing to phenyl as a lousy oral drug. Anyway, they go through the story of these people who were trying to prove that this didn't work. They proved that it didn't work back in the mid-2000s. Basically, nothing ever happened. They just kept it on the shelves. And they don't allude to this, but I've got a theory. My theory is that all of these drug companies already made all of this medication with all of this stuff in it and sold it as decongestants. And they knew that the government was blocking pseudo from being out on the store shelves, and they were putting it behind the counter. My theory is that they just let it slide because all of these drug companies wanted them to let it slide so they could keep selling this stuff.
Of course.
Now, they're not saying the drug is dangerous or anything like that, and some of these medications have other ingredients in them that do help with congestion. But the main ingredient that's supposed to do it, apparently they find zero of it. 0% makes it 1%, sorry. No reason to have hyperbole or anything like that, exaggerate that. 1% actually can make it to your nasal passage. Yeah. The rest of it gets destroyed in your gut.
Well, thank God we have an agency like the FDA to keep us all well informed.
Yeah.
And so we can make better decisions.
Actually, like, I think it's a couple things working together. You get the meth law, whichever one it was. Can't remember the name of it now.
The methamphetamine epidemic.
And so they come up with this drug that they can replace all the stuff that was on the shelves. And then I think the companies and their friends at the FDA were just like, hey, people are buying it. You know, people are congested. They're going to be, they're unhappy anyway. Okay. It doesn't really matter. This stuff helps a little bit. So they just kept
it. I don't feel like we should pull it from the shelves. It's just like people should be able to have the information, you know, because like, look, if you want to take, you know, basically a sugar pill and then you feel better, well, who cares? I think it's awesome.
Do it. Yeah. It works.
Yeah. If I sell you some water, you know, and then, But the thing is, I don't feel like you can lie to people. If I sell you some water and I'm like, this is going to heal you, you know, and there's no evidence that it does that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like that's what's wrong. But if I sell you some water and you drink the water and you're like, and you believe yourself through no coercion from me, and then you want to keep buying that, whatever it is, sugar, doesn't matter, then I should be allowed to sell it to you.
Now, what I want to know is, these drug companies that make these products, they've probably known for a while that this stuff didn't actually work for congestion, right?
Probably when they made it.
The FDA has known for a while that it didn't actually work on congestion.
For almost 20 years.
What about all the people who have spent all this money? This is $1.7 billion per year spent on these decongestant medications.
That don't decongest.
The FDA and the companies know that the main ingredient doesn't work. And so, who is anyone liable for anything here? That's not even discussed in this article. I saw the thing in the
live group. Yeah. Wants to know how effective is meth on congestion. And the response is 100% better than Coke. Just,
just so you know.
That's not coming from me. I'm not recommending anything.
In the live group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's in the Fed Haters Club.
Too bad I took that TTS thing off of there.
You could join by going to joingml.com.
Oh, important part before we part ways. Last paragraph.
Important part before we part.
Mm-hmm. Parting words. Restricting pseudo has not curbed the meth epidemic either. Meth-related overdoses are skyrocketing after Mexican drug rings perfected a newer, cheap way to make methamphetamine without using pseudoephedrine at all. This actually effective drug still remains behind the counter while ineffective ones fill the shelves.
Now, there's a couple things there, okay? One, the first one that's obvious is that, well, the fact that the law didn't work, that's pretty obvious. And then they're keeping it behind the counter still. You have to show your ID, which I've done before, because I knew the difference, luckily. Yeah. But the funniest part about this is that by the United States making this law, it forced the drug cartels to more quickly pivot to and gave them the incentive to find a cheaper, more effective way to create meth.
Which made meth more prevalent and easier to get for everyone.
Yeah, and skyrocketing.
Tight. It's blue.
Not to mention all the Adderall that people take, which is basically legal meth. It's methamphetamine, salt. It's, yeah. People are getting addicted. I think that's honestly the next... Like, as opiates is kind of, I mean, still increasing with fentanyl and stuff like that, but I think the next one is, like, going to be meth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because people, you know, they get prescribed Adderall. And I'm not saying people don't have ADD or ADHD or whatever.
Or narcolepsy
or anything like that. And people don't need something, a type of medication. But the problem with a medication like Adderall is it becomes addictive.
Yeah.
Extremely addictive. Right? And now, like, you can't function without it because... Especially as you keep increasing doses, because people get that little dopamine hit, and it's like that's what you get addicted to.
Yeah, but extended release stuff, you don't have that problem. You get the XR. You get the meth XR.
Same thing.
It's not that bad, you know.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go.
Yeah, it is an amphetamine salt, yes, but it's literally... It's legal meth.
I did forget to take mine yesterday. That's how addictive it is. I don't take Adderall, though. No. I take pre-meth.
Pre-meth.
My body has to make its own meth, okay?
And look, I'm not saying people don't need it. I'm just saying that it's going to be the next thing. Now, I don't know. Is it as addictive as opiates are? I don't know about that, but I don't know. There's a lot of people who struggle.
It's very common. It's a common thing.
With those medications. And so... Y'all got to be careful out there. Even if the FDA approves it, you do.
I'm about to go full anti-pharmaceutical products, honestly.
That's me.
This whole system is so freaking rigged and corrupt that I don't trust a single thing that any of them are doing.
I really don't take medication because I'm like, I don't want to be dependent on anything at all. I mean, you were nice enough when I was struggling, a while ago, like, hey, you can't sleep at night, you know, like. I can help you sleep. And
I was offering you drugs, not, you know.
Yeah, which was kind.
I wasn't trying to cuddle with you.
Which
or
was
anything.
Kind, but yeah. I'm like, I don't want to be dependent on medication. So, like, I can't sleep without it. So it's like, no, I'm just going to kind of suffer through this moment in time for a little while, and then eventually I'll be able to sleep again.
But I'm off of Ambien and Lunesta.
Are you?
I haven't taken it in months. Oh. So I take a melatonin pill now. And I've been on... Ambien and Lunesta for like 4 or 5 years now.
How do you feel?
I sleep fine. I think my brain's a little bit clearer, actually, because those drugs cause memory problems, can cause memory loss if you take them long term. And so I wanted to stop taking them. Can't quite remember when I stopped.
I wonder why.
You can do it.
Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox about that kind of stuff.
No, but if you're taking this stuff, there's a drug you can buy at Walmart. Drug. It's a pill. It's called Sleep 3. And it's a time-released melatonin/calming, you know, like L-theanine and all this kind of stuff.
Melatonin is a natural.
Yeah. I could never just take melatonin. I'd be too drowsy. It was terrible. All right. They should be paying me for this. But listen, I took Ambien and Lunesta for years, had terrible problems sleeping. And our friend John, who also had taken Lunesta, told me about Sleep 3, which was like $10 for a month's supply at Walmart. Took it, like literally, I just stopped. No Lunesta, Sleep 3, sleeping fine. No drowsiness, nothing.
I love that.
I've never had that happen before. It's nuts. So if you're taking this and you want to be done with some of those pills, I would suggest trying it.
And I'm not, like, obviously, this is not medical advice. I'm not a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I just want people to, you know, be aware that even if your doctor or the FDA or whoever says that it's totally fine, it could end up not being totally fine.
The thing is,
and you just have to be aware of that.
What we need is a free market in this scenario, because what I just, it bothers me what I just said earlier about how I don't trust the whole system. I don't want to take any of these companies' products because I don't trust anything any of them are saying. And that's because they're not bound by any code of free market ethics, which means they can have some kind of competitors come in and do something better, or even getting in trouble if their product is doing a bad job. Or all these companies who knew that this decongestant didn't work, who's been selling it to people knowing for 20 years that it didn't work, and the FDA knowing for 20 years allowing it. What's going to happen from that? All the billions of Americans' dollars that have gone into these products over this time. Nothing.
Somebody in live group mentioned that sleeping pills almost killed Eminem in his career. Look at Michael Jackson. The dude was being put to sleep by a medical doctor, doctor who was giving him propofol, which basically is that's what you get when you go under anesthesia, by the way, among other things. But propofol, you're on a propofol drip typically, which puts you to sleep. Anyway, a medical doctor was actually pumping him full of propofol and other things to help him sleep, then Adderall and other things to help him wake up, and it was just like that he couldn't function without a medical doctor administering medication to allow his body to function, and then it killed him.
That's basically like worst case scenario.
It killed him.
You don't want to get all the way to there.
Right.
It's bad. Your nose falls off. There's like terrible things.
Yeah. Your skin goes from black to white.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Wow. You don't want to do that. You lose so many victimhood statuses.
All right. Anyway.
Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the dumbest tweets and political statements from last week. The live group is hanging out with us. We're going to count through them, have them vote on what the dumbest thing is. We do that every Friday on Good Morning Liberty called Dumb Bleep of the Week. Right now, this is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network from Nashville, Tennessee.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.